Hey friends, you're tuning into Wisdom and Wellness with Wit, a podcast for your emotional, physical, mental, and spiritual well-being, a space to learn and grow, to be encouraged and maybe even challenged just a little bit. Let's journey together and explore what it means to experience the wholeness God has for each of our lives.
Hello and good morning, everyone. I hope you're having a great week. I don't know if you can hear the sounds, but I'm coming at you from the Grand Tetons in Wyoming. So there's a lot of bird sounds, which I thought that would actually be kind of cute. Just pray for me if I see a bear and you hear me scream and run, you'll know what happened. Today's episode is one that we have actually covered before, a topic we've covered before, but you know, it's such a common theme for so many of us, myself as well. And I actually experienced some of this on this trip that we're on currently, just this thought of overthinking and how overthinking really is a form of underfeeling. When we take the time to really rehash and like reprocess things that have happened and begin to ruminate constantly over and over and over again, it's a way for us just to avoid our feelings in general. And I noticed myself doing that this weekend as well. And, you know, I noticed myself getting really stressed and my body getting really tired. But there were just some things that I was feeling that I realized I just wasn't really willing to allow myself to feel. So today I woke up and just, I mean, I feel it in my body. My body is exhausted. But we think overthinking is helpful, right? We think that it's a solution or a problem solving, when in reality, it's just another way that we can avoid our feelings. So today's podcast episode, overthinking is underfeeling, is one that I just think you'll find a lot of benefit from. I just wanted to also remind you that we have so many resources out right now for any of you who struggle with mind, body, neuroplastic, chronic pain. Even if you don't, if you just struggle with overthinking, if you struggle with OCD tendencies, if you struggle with depression, anxiety, all of these different kinds of things that, you know, a lot of us struggle with on the daily. It's not just chronic pain, right? It's this daily walk that we live, and there's things that so many of us just feel like we can't escape or can't get past. And I have just been learning day by day in my own journey that it's just not true. I think there's so many things that we can find freedom from. We just need the right tools and the right resources and the right knowledge and information, and of course the right leading by the Holy Spirit as well. So I hope you find benefit from today's podcast. Leave me any comments. I would love to hear what you think about it, and I hope you have a great week. Okay, so go with me for a minute. We are going to imagine that we just experienced something painful or uncomfortable. And let's say, for example, you just had a conversation with somebody that left you really angry or stressed out. Maybe somebody said something offensive, or maybe you were in an argument and you left feeling even worse than when you started. Maybe you just had a job interview and you didn't get the job. Or the person you had a crush on just went on a date with somebody that wasn't you. Super encouraging way to start a podcast, I know. But after this happens, you drive home and you obsess about the entire thing, the whole event. I'm talking play-by-play action, highlight reel of the most memorable parts of the conflict. You know, you repeat it over and over and over in your head. But each time you say something a little different, that's better than what you did in reality, you know, you really laid it on them. You had that amazing comeback. You said exactly what was on your mind. You didn't hold back. You decided to be more forward with that person that you have the crush on. And so you envision that, you know, it's you on the date because you finally stepped out and that's all it took for them to notice you, over and over. Obsessive train of thought after obsessive train of thought. And this has been me, by the way, so I am very much exposing myself in this. I have to share an obsession of mine with you guys that I'm also affiliated with, and that is Organo King Coffee. Now, did you know that most coffee crops in the U.S.
are very underregulated, and they contain some of the highest levels of mold and mycotoxins, which contribute to a whole host of health issues. Now, there's many reasons people don't drink coffee or they do drink coffee, and a lot of times it's for health. But most of those actually have to do with the quality sourcing of the coffee bean. GERD, acid reflux, a lot of times that has to do with how good or poor quality of coffee you're drinking. King coffee is infused with the Ganoderma mushroom, which is one of the powerhouses of mushrooms. It is not even comparable to other mushroom coffees because of this bad sourcing practices that most companies only use the stem of the mushroom. As well, they mass produce, ignoring the needed development time for the mushrooms to produce. This immune-regulating coffee is beneficial for so many reasons. And I've noticed in myself, I don't have much morning bloat anymore. I don't belch as much anymore. Ask some of my friends, because when we go hiking or we're outside, I can belch the ABCs. And so that has really been improving. As well, I haven't been experiencing afternoon jitters or that afternoon crash that most people know about. This mushroom has countless benefits for hormonal health. And I use King Coffee in my enemas as well because it is heavily anti-parasitic. And I don't care what you've heard, we all have parasites. So the link to grab some of your Organo King Coffee is in the show notes.
Disclaimer: this podcast episode is for educational and informational purposes only. This is not medical advice. I am not a medical doctor, psychiatrist, or therapist, nor am I trying to be. The information presented is not intended to be a substitute for health and medical care that can be provided by your own physician, medical doctor, or mental health provider, nor is it intended to be used to diagnose or treat any condition. Always seek medical counsel relating to your specific health needs with any questions or concerns you may have, especially before starting any treatment plan, fitness regimen, adding supplements, changing or quitting medication, or making any lifestyle, mental health, or dietary changes. Any suggestion or recommendation mentioned on this podcast is to be taken at your own risk.
I heard this phrase from a mind-body psychologist the other week. And it says, overthinking is under feeling. And I've heard this in a lot of different variations, but just the way that they said it really stuck out to me. And so I really wanted to start to dig into this idea. And then I also wanted to look at it, you know, with a biblical perspective in mind as well. The concept for me is profound because I am an intense overthinker. And I think I've talked about this before. You know, for me, it feels like, in a way, it can be a problem-solving tool, when in reality, it's not. And nothing is changing, and I'm not solving any problem. I'm just making the original problem more difficult for me to cope with. And the concept that I'm problem-solving is one I think a lot of us divulge in a little bit. And it's interesting, you know, because a few weeks ago I talked about, if you haven't listened to it, it's this concept on the thought ladder and how we all have in our brains these neural pathways that are our patterns of thought. And the more we think a thought, the more intense the neural pathway is created. The less we think about a thought, the less likely that thought will stick and the less likely that neural pathway will be created. So in essence, the more we stress about something, the more likely we will ingrain pathways into our brain of learning how to worry or to think that way. But fear not, we can also undo it. But what even goes deeper in this concept that when we overthink, we underfeel. And, you know, when we replay that angering conversation over and over and over again of how we, you know, could have done it better, what they said that hurt, or how we wished we had had, you know, that better zinger or whatever, what we're really doing is denying ourselves the gift of being able to feel what it is that we need to feel. And a few weeks ago, we also talked about how the brain is designed to keep us safe. And so these emotions, these feelings that elicit danger, essentially put our brain into this fight or flight mode. So our sweet, beautiful, wonderfully created brains are always problem solving, except that these solutions aren't generally helpful. So what we can do is really learn how to sit into what it is that we're overanalyzing and get into the actual emotions of this. Now, if you are somebody who is, you know, a real intense thinker and, you know, you think well and you really like to dive into the deep topics of life and the world and all that stuff, it's not talking about that, right? Like having curiosity and just generally wanting to know things about things. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about this idea that overthinking is what will help us overcome what it is that we don't want to be feeling. When in reality, the key for a lot of us is to feel it. And I know so many people talk about this all the time. And I think maybe some people are getting really sick of hearing, you just got to feel what you got to feel. And I honestly am one of those people. But the more I understand the role that my feelings have played in my life, the more I want to break free from allowing them to control me. Yeah. Okay, so for example, I had a conversation with someone, and when I got home, I started really thinking about what I said. And I started to feel guilty for some of the things that I said. Was it too much? You know, was it not my place to say? Was I speaking out of wisdom, or was it my own immaturity? You know, and then of course I started to think, oh my gosh, I'm not a good leader at all. Like a real leader would know what to say. And it's not what I said, probably. It's probably way better, way more biblical, you know, way more spirit-led, all that. So I stopped and I sat there and I just noticed how I felt. And my throat was tight. I had a bit of a headache that was kind of forming, you know, what we love to say, a tension headache. And I'm doing air quotes when I say tension headache. My stomach was a bit unsettled and I felt a little bit of anxiety. And so I took a few deep breaths and I began to ask myself, okay, what am I feeling? What is it that is going on in my heart and my body? Not the conscious brain, right, that wants to overanalyze and think. Like, what am I feeling? And I'm going to be really honest right now. So, you know, bear with me. And if you feel like judging, that's fine. But I can rest assured that you've gone through this too. Okay, so I felt guilt. Guilt for what I said, maybe how I said it, maybe because it wasn't as articulate as I had hoped. And then shame. I felt a lot of shame. Like, I am not a good leader. What am I doing? Who do I think I am, right? I felt a lot of fear. I think fear that the person would know, like, what I said wasn't right. Fear that they would see what I already know, that I'm not good at that, right? Like that I'm kind of a fake. And then like fear that they'll tell somebody else and, you know, all of these people will come together and be like, why are you a leader? You suck. I know it sounds crazy, but this is what I feel sometimes. Definitely fear of rejection. I think, you know, a lot of us harbor these core narrative beliefs. And things that I'm working through are this belief of like being incompetent, being an imposter. I know that, you know, imposter syndrome is something that is talked about so much now. I think fear of abandonment, like they're never going to come back to me for that. Like for, you know, just help or counseling or any, not counseling, but you know what I mean? Just asking for wisdom or whatever. And then it was interesting because I started thinking more negatively about the individual that I had the conversation with. They didn't say nothing wrong, but since they brought the issue to me, it's now giving me this grievance. So I'm blaming them for having included me at all. They didn't even need to bring it up. Leave me alone, you know? And see, then this is why I think I'm not a good leader. I can't handle this. I wasn't made to tell people or give anyone any advice on what to do because I'm freaking out about my own life and abilities and leadership capabilities. You know, I'm not feeling like I'm good enough. I'm even, you know, agreeing with myself that this is just another example of exactly how I'm not good enough, right? Our brain is always gonna, you know, if we continue this neural pathway of I suck, my brain, my sweet brain is gonna, you know, help me find examples of exactly why I do suck unless I teach it to think otherwise. And then, ooh, here we go. My desire for external validation is heightened. Heightened. I'm wishing at this moment that, you know, somebody would reach out and tell me, you know, I just felt like God wanted to remind you of how great of a leader you are, or like something, you know, or just someone reach out, just you're doing great. Maybe, whew, I end up posting something on social media about worship, or, and here's where you're really going to judge me, maybe I post a clip of me leading worship, because I know I'll get what I'm looking for in doing that. Maybe this individual thinks, wow, she really sucks. She shouldn't be a worship leader. But a lot of people who respond to whatever I post will say the exact opposite. So I'm stressed out rethinking and talking about all this. And I apologize if you are stressed out as well. And I also want to clarify, most of my posts are not from a reactive response like this, but it is real and it's happened. And I'm, we've probably all done something like that similar. No judgment. It's just what it is. But I think this is a topic for another podcast, but I also think it is important to notice the types of behaviors we engage in when we are experiencing these negative or unwanted emotions, right? Like there's going to be a lot of things I do to try, again, to avoid simply feeling what it is that I need to feel. And I also want to say, I think the Holy Spirit allows us to feel certain things because there's just growth that needs to happen. And sometimes we will not be drawn to growth or working on things because we will not allow ourselves to feel them. So there's that. And so just from letting myself stop and ask what was going on, I did this in my car on my drive home. I uncovered a lot of this stuff that I didn't really realize was there. I went from just like obsessing about a conversation to then also beginning to have negative and blaming thoughts towards this individual, right? All unwarranted. But I choose to go into my body, and I know the religious type will say this is too spiritual and, you know, wooey. And I promise you it's not. It's very psychologically and physiologically beneficial. But I start to name feelings, patterns, and these core beliefs that I have attached to. And it's different every time. But for me in that moment, simply naming and identifying what I was feeling was insanely helpful for me. And then I also started to feel the physical symptoms that I was experiencing dissipate. And I was able to go on with my day. Now, I'm not telling you how or what to do, but I'm just sharing what's been helpful you know, for me. Other times I find it beneficial to simply stop and journal and just write it all out so I can get it out of my system. I think sometimes we don't even know what's like, you know, all jumbled around up in our brains because we're just simply not allowing ourselves an outlet. And sometimes simply just getting it out allows you to stop, breathe, and think clearly. I think this is also a really, really important place to invite the Holy Spirit into all of this and ask Him to pinpoint anything this might allow me to address. When I feel like I've uncovered, you know, the roots or these core beliefs, I take the time to ask what He has to say about it. That's key and most important. What does God have to say about this? I know what I think and feel about it. And He values me and He, you know, loves me. But what is most important is what He has to say about it. And if you're like me, you might wait 5 minutes and not hear anything. And so you move on to something else that probably is mind numbing, you know, go back to obsessing about the scenario, go back to scrolling, whatever. And this is where we say, have grace and compassion with yourself, and then just kindly reroute your mind back to listening for His voice. What does He have to say about the fear? What does God have to say about your fear of rejection? Do you feel like He's rejected you? Do you feel like He has good plans for you? Do you feel like He looks at you like you're an imposter? Do you feel like He's ashamed of you? Do you feel like He's shaking His head just like you are in disappointment? Oh, this is a really, really, really beautiful and pretty important place to start. Do you trust Him? All of these things. And the list goes on. And we know how deep our minds can go with all of this. We can go so dark. So deep, so dark. And so that's why it's so important when it comes to mind body, when it comes to dealing with our emotions, we cannot do it on our own. We cannot do it without Jesus, without inviting the Holy Spirit into it. It is so, so imperative. We see in the Psalms so much crying out. And I mean, we can see how they obsessed about things. And then we see this uptick and this turning of affection and this turning of attention towards God and towards who He is and towards what He says and towards what His truth says. And so never, ever, 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 ever trust somebody who says, do this on your own, listen to your higher self. No, don't. That stuff makes me want to scream. We cannot do this without God, because the enemy is going to take dumb, crazy thoughts that we have and tempt us into believing that it's true. There might even be thoughts that don't feel bad, but they're not God's best for you. But then you attach your entire identity to that. And then the enemy's like, I honestly don't even have to do much else because you're believing this fraudulent thing. I'm gonna go ahead and go work on something else, right? Like, it's just our mind, our brains, our thoughts, our emotions, it is all of it belongs to Jesus and what He has to say about it. And the mind is such an amazing place, but it's also such a breeding ground for the enemy to just implant these little tiny things, these lies that can sound like truth, and then we base our lives off of it. So always, 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 always test. Go to God, go to the Holy Spirit. And then, you know, when we journal, listen for His response. I promise it will be so much better than you could even make up. You know, I think a lot of times we're like, how do I know? Is that God? Like, is it loving? Is it encouraging? Does it correspond and agree with Scripture? is God. Okay? Don't even stress about that. Receive it. Let it wash over you. Let his truth fill you. Maybe you're somebody who isn't really at a place where you feel like you can receive his love or his grace. And if that's something you simply notice, then that's a great place to start. What if you imagine that it's what he's saying is for somebody you know? What would he say to them? What would you say to somebody who is struggling with the same thing you're struggling with? This is a great process. And I think a lot of times we realize where it is that we need someone to come alongside us and help us walk this out. Maybe it's a pastor, maybe it's a mentor, maybe it's a leader, a therapist, a family member, anybody that you trust and can be honest with and is wiser and further down the road than you. Next time you find yourself overthinking, stop and ask yourself, what do I feel in my body at this moment? What are the feelings that I feel? Journal. Pray it out. Talk it out. There's a good chance you'll feel a bit better when you allow yourself to simply feel what it is that you need to feel. Repression helps nobody, especially you. We just create these more intense, incorrect scenarios and patterns in our minds. We probably all heard it. Our words create our worlds. And we can say this for our thoughts too and our emotions. And usually what we're creating is a very faulty worldview based off of inaccurate information because we are taking what we feel as truth. We need to feel it. Don't disregard it. If you are angry, feel it. Let it be there and then let God work on it with you and then release it. We cannot let ourselves be bullied by these lies. I've done it for so many years and it's exhausting and it is so frustrating to get to a place where you realized I have not been believing God's truth. I have not been walking God's truth out for my life. The narrative I have created and I have been living by are complete and utter lies. I'm sick of it for myself. I'm sick of it for you. God created us to walk in his truth, in his righteousness, in his love, in his peace, in his strength. And we are stopping and getting so caught up in these lies. That is time to walk in what he created us to walk in. Feel it. Don't repress it. Don't deny it. Don't ignore it. Some of the things that I think we are the most guilt-ridden and shame-filled about are the very things that God is like, that's what I died for. That's what I created you to thrive in. And that's where the enemy knows you will stay stuck. And that is not his plan for you. It is not his plan for me. So the next time you find yourself overthinking, just remember that you're probably underfeeling and God has something to say about it and there's something you can do about it and there's so much freedom you can find. Love you all and I'll see you next week.
Like what you hear so far? Click the subscribe button and give me a rating and review. And let's keep this conversation going. You can find me on social media at Whitney Wood Music. You can find any of my latest singles out anywhere that you stream or purchase music under Whitney Wood, as well as my latest passion project. It's a kids EP called BB and Bubba. I'll have the links below so you can find them. Have a great week, everybody.